Isaiah was a prophet of God. He saw the judgment of God coming to Israel. God's people had turned away from him. They'd begin to worship idols, and God was going to send judgment. Now, the northern kingdom had already fallen to the Assyrians, and so the judgment that Isaiah is talking about here, or in these chapters around Isaiah 43, is the judgment that was coming to Judah, the southern kingdom. Babylon was going to come. The nation of Babylon was going to come. It was going to destroy Jerusalem. It was going to destroy the temple. It was going to take most of the population of Jerusalem, carry them away as slaves. They were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And Isaiah's message was this: hey, that judgment's coming. It's a judgment that you deserve, a judgment that we deserve, because we've turned away from God. But in this passage of scripture that we read, Isaiah is telling the people that judgment won't last forever. It won't last forever. He says, I've sent to Babylon. I have brought down the nobles. He said there in verse 8, he says in verse 14, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. That God is the God of Israel, and what he was to Israel is the same that he is to us. He is our Lord. He is our Holy One. He is our Creator. He should be our King. And I want you to look at verse 16. Again, this was a message of hope delivered to a people who have been told that judgment's coming. It's coming, but it won't last for long. Notice what he says in verse 16. And this is my text verse this morning. It's my title. It's also the theme of my message. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. My message this morning I've entitled, He Maketh a Way. He maketh a way. I don't care what your problem is this morning. I don't care what your circumstance is this morning. I don't care what your worry is this morning. It doesn't matter what your situation is this morning. I've got some good news for you. We have a God, our Lord, which maketh a way. He maketh a way. So let me give you some examples this morning. Maybe some of you are here, you're trying to kick a habit that's got a hold of you. A habit that you know isn't good for you. A habit that you know doesn't bring glory to God. And you've tried and you've kicked it for a while, but it came back. And you tried again, and you kicked it for a while, and it came back again. And maybe you've gone through that cycle many, many times, and now you feel like a slave, that there's no escape from this vice, this thing that has you in its grip. Well, I want to remind you, the nation of Israel felt that way too. For 430 years, they were slaves in Egypt. They were discouraged. They had no hope of ever leaving that land. They never had a hope that they would be free again. But they had a God that maketh a way. God called a man named Moses. He said, hey, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I want them free from their slavery. You know the story as well as I do. Moses went down to Pharaoh. God sent me, said, let his people go. Pharaoh said, no way. And Moses says, okay, get ready, because we have a God that maketh a way. And through a series of 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh, he did make that way. In the end, Pharaoh said, get out of here. He drove God's people out of the land. They spoiled Egypt as they left. God made a way. And if you think that you're a slave to this thing that's entrapped you, there's no way out. I want to remind you this morning, you are not beyond hope. There's always hope as long as you have a God, as long as we have a God that maketh a way. Is it a relationship problem that you have this morning? Do you have problems in your marriage or problems with your kids? Problems with some other member of your family? Do you have problems at work or in the neighborhood? And you've come to the point and say, hey, I've tried to fix this relationship. I've tried to heal it. The pastor has told me that it takes two to fight and that one can make up. And I've tried to do that, but it doesn't look that there's a way out of this relationship problem that I'm in. Well, again, I would remind you, Israel got to that place. They came out of Egypt. They began to travel toward the promised land. God didn't lead them the shortest way because they'd have to fight different enemies along that way. And so he took a longer route. They got up to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh changed his mind. Said, we've let our slaves go. And he sent his army after them. So here's the picture. The Red Sea's in front of them. The mountains are on either side of them. And the Egyptian army are behind them. The people went to Moses and said, why did you do this to us? We're going to die here in the wilderness. It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and be slaves. And Moses says, just a minute. You've forgotten that you have a God that maketh a way. He said, now you stand back and see what God's about to do. And again, you know the story as well as I do. Moses raised up that rod, and God sent a wind, and he divided the waters of that sea and dried the ground out, and the nation of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry, dusty ground. They didn't walk through the mud. There weren't little puddles in the path. It was as arid and dry as any desert because God, when he makes a way, he doesn't do things halfway. He goes all the way. There wasn't a puddle. There wasn't any mud. They walked on dry ground because they had a God that made a way. You know, there's critics today that said, oh, that wasn't much of a miracle. Red Sea was probably only an inch or two deep at that point. It wouldn't take much of a God to split that sea and dry it out. Well, then it sure was a miracle when he drowned the Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. Amen? Amen? We got a God that can make a way. And I don't believe it was 2 inches deep. I believe it. When they walked through, they had to look up and see the top of the water. We have a God that can make a way. You may not think there's any hope in your relationship problems. You might not think you've done everything you can to fix them, and you ought to. Takes two to fight. One can make up. You be that one. But if you've tried that and hadn't worked, don't give up. We have a God that maketh a way. Let me give you another example. Got a decision to make? Maybe what college to go to when you graduate high school. Maybe what occupation to pursue. Maybe you're considering getting married and you're looking for a prospective spouse. And you have the question, which way do I go? What decision do I make? Well, I want to remind you this morning that Israel faced that same challenge. In the wilderness, as they were heading toward the promised land, there were no highways. There were no roads. They did not have a map. There wasn't any street sign that said, 500 miles to the promised land with an arrow pointed this way. But they had a God. Do you see the pattern starting to develop yet? But they had a God which made a way. He gave him a cloud by day to lead the way. He gave him a fire, pillar of fire by night to lead the way. He told them, look, when the cloud moves, you move. When the fire moves, you move. If the cloud stays still, then you camp for a while. If the fire stays still, then you camp for a while. I know the way through the wilderness. Amen. All you have to do is follow me. We sang that little chorus. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. He knows the path that you're on. He knows the decisions that you have to make. He may not send the cloud, he may not send the pillar of fire, but he will send the Holy Spirit to show you which way to go. We have a God that maketh a way. Let me give you another example. Are you having trouble making ends meet? You got more bills than money? You run out of money at the end of the month before you run out of bills? Israel faced that issue too. You see, in the wilderness, there were no VGs. They were no Krogers. They were no Myers or Walmarts or anything like that. There was no McDonald's. There was no Arby's. There was no Taco Bell in the wilderness. But they had a God that maketh a way. He sent manna, heavenly bread, 6 days a week, double on Friday so they wouldn't have to work and gather it on the Sabbath. When they got hungry for meat, he sent quail. When they got thirsty, he brought water out of the rock and from different places. God knew that his people needed to be fed. God knew that his people needed water, and there wasn't any resources in the wilderness to bring that about. And so their God made a way. He fed them every day. Now, here's what I'm trying to remind you about this morning. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what your need is. It doesn't matter what your heartache is this morning. You may be at the end of your rope. You may not know what to do. But we have a God that maketh a way. And he will make that way. One more example. You've got an eternity to face. We all do. Every single one of us have an eternity to face. That eternity has two possible destinations. It's either heaven or hell. There is no other place. There is no purgatory. Your soul doesn't go to sleep and that's it. Your soul will live forever either in heaven or in hell. Now, the Bible tells us some about both of those places. In fact, the Bible tells us more about hell than it does about heaven. But it tells us about some about of both of those places. I don't know anybody that reads the Bible and has their wits about them, or in other words, is in their right mind. I don't know of anybody that would choose to go to hell over heaven. I just don't understand people that make that choice. You see, the Bible tells us that hell is the bottomless pit, a place of darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of fire where the worm dieth not, where Satan and his demons reside. Compare that to heaven, where Jesus said he was building mansions. There's a street of gold. There's no night. There's no pain. There's no tears. There's no separation. God the Father lives there, as well as the Son, as well as all the angels. Now, which would you choose? I mean, which would you choose? I don't know about you, but if those are my two choices, and those are my two choices, and those are your two choices, I choose heaven. Amen. But here's the problem. All of us are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And because of our sin, the Bible says we deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Separated from God. And if God's in heaven, then to be separated from God means that we have to go to hell. That's the problem. And there's nothing that we can do to fix that problem. Some people point to their goodness. Say, hey, I'm a good person. I go to church. I've been baptized. I take communion when the church has it. I put my tithe in the offering plate. I try to be kind to people. I'm a good guy. Surely God would not send a good guy to hell. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, in fact, that all of our righteousnesses, plural, righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. It's not our goodness that's going to get us to heaven. Now listen to this real closely. It's not our sin that's going to send us to hell. You know what's going to send us to hell? If we reject Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we have a God that made a way. He maketh a way. He maketh a way so that we can escape hell and go to heaven. He maketh a way that we can get our sins paid for. That way is the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who He gave because He loved the world. And that verse in John chapter 3 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That means if you believe in Him, you don't have to go to hell, but have everlasting life. That means you get to go to heaven. Now look, and so we have a God that maketh a way. But in every situation that Israel was in, that God made a way, they made a choice to take it. They could have, some of them could have said, "Hey, I don't want to go, Moses. I want to stay in Egypt. I'll just stay a slave." At the Red Sea, they could have said, "I'm not walking through that water. I'll just stay right here and take my chances with Pharaoh." When in the wilderness, it was their choice to go out and gather the manna. It was their choice to drink the water that came from the rock. It was their choice in every situation to take the way that God made, and it's our choice this morning. He doesn't force us to go down that way. It's our choice this morning to take the way that God has made. Amen. That way is Jesus. He said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Amen. He made that way by what He did on Calvary. On Calvary's cross, God took every one of our sins, put them on His Son, and Jesus paid for them on Calvary. Payment of sin is separation from God. On the cross, God separated Himself from Christ. Remember on the cross, one of the things that Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Son of God was forsook by God the Father because He bore my sin. He was forsaken by the Father because He bore your sin. He paid the price that you and I owed. He made a way for us to get to God. But it's a way we have to take. Have you done that this morning? Can you say, "Pastor, preacher, there's been a time in my life where I admitted I was a sinner, and I realized that Jesus was my only hope, and I bowed my head and I asked Him to be my Savior"? That's what God wants for every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you do that this morning? If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you can do it right where you sit. You don't need to walk the aisle. I'm going to encourage you to walk the aisle if you pray that prayer where you are to testify that you've done it. But you don't need to walk the aisle to get saved. You just need, with a repentant heart, to admit to God you're a sinner and to trust Christ to save you from that sin. Would you do it this morning? As a Christian, again, as we said for the Lord's Supper, let's remember the price that was paid for our salvation. As we remember that, it ought to cause us to love our Savior more and to serve Him as best we can. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for being a God that makes a way. You made a way for the children of Israel. You make a way for us today. But You don't force us down that way. It's our choice. And I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice this morning would make that choice to take the way that You provided. First of all, the way of salvation. Again, Father, I pray for those that are here that have never received Christ. Help them to decide this morning to take that way. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians. Help us to take the way that You make for us as we live our life from day to day. We're not in this life by ourselves. You walk with us. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. And even though it grows dark, and even though we may not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you maketh a way. Help us to take it. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Again, speak to those that don't know Christ. Help them to decide to receive him this morning. Then speak to Christians. Help us to decide to trust you and to lean on you and to take the way that you've made for us. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.